thatgreatbusinessshow.com is brought to you by DeFacto Shaving Oil, the best anyone can get. Made in Ireland, sold worldwide.
Welcome to That Great Business Show, episode 31, posting on the 23rd of April, 2021. I'm Conal O'Moran. Last week's episode saw us gaining our largest number of new listeners yet. So thank you to all of you who are telling your friends about Ireland's Best Business Podcast. Do tell them also to follow us on LinkedIn, where we post much more about the show and where we give followers a sneak peek at what's coming up on every episode. If you're a regular listener, you know we do business differently. We share your pains and your gains because, as a small business ourselves, we know how tough it is out there. And that's why we're bringing you something very, very different. At the start of this episode, we're going to give you an absolute hoot of a laugh. We'll also tell you about an accountant who liked what she saw at a company she was auditing so much that she bought the business. Break out the Ferrero Rocher because we have an ambassador in the house. She's here to tell us about a market 10 times the size of Ireland that's mad keen to do business with us. And you won't believe it, there are companies out there who, as an employee perk, pay for bins, for socks, and for gene testing. An early stage HR platform co-founder is here with all the details. All of this coming up in the next hour or so. Remember, if you have a great business, we should hear about That Great Business Show. Do send details to producer at thatgreatbusinessshow.com and check out the website to see what we look for in businesses that we might be able to highlight. And remember, your company or any company being on That Great Business Show is only possible because one other company, that's our super sponsor, De Facto, makers of the world's best shaving oil, who support us. Support them by buying the best shaving oil anyone can get at defactoshave.com. So away we go. We're all really worried about what will be left behind in businesses when the COVID restrictions lift, hopefully very, very, very soon. So we badly need a great laugh. The following clip made me cry laughing. So I got a very special permission from two lovely lads, Jim Jim Nugent and Mark Noble, or Jim Jim and Nobby, as they prefer to be known, down at FM 104's morning radio programme, The Strawberry Alarm Clock, to bring you this item. It's a slow burn, so do stick with it to give you a well-deserved belly laugh.
Hello?
Hello, can I speak to Nessa Griffith, please?
Speaking.
Nessa, how are you doing? My name is Eddie Mullard. I'm calling from Beaverstown Golf Club.
Yeah?
Just updating our members on the forthcoming changes to the rule to play. The 26th of April is what we've been hearing is going to be the first time people will be able to play again, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you're missing it yourself.
I am, yeah.
When we do reopen, I think the maximum we can do is going to be a 3-ball to begin with.
Okay.
And it'll be members only, and it'll be fully paid members as well. So anyone who isn't fully paid members won't be top of the list.
Okay.
So as you're not a fully paid member at the moment, that would push you out.
Well, like I paid my fees for all of last year, we hardly got to play. This is the way we've always been playing. I don't think that's very fair.
So to get everybody out there...
Now, how much more money do I owe you?
Well, I don't have that information in front of me.
Well, before you make these kind of phone calls, maybe you should have that kind of information in front of you. That is desperately unfair. We've been off golf for 4 months. We haven't played golf since December. We were off for 4 or 5 months last year. Yeah. We played our full membership. I have booked my day off for the 27th of April. I booked my day off work.
Oh, the 27th of April is you'd be looking more like the 27th of October, I'd say.
Sorry?
I'd say it'd be closer to September, October.
I've booked my day off and we're playing golf on the 27th.
Well, you know,
you're saying that the club's not open on the 27th?
It'll be open to members who are fully paid, yeah. But the ones that, like yourself who are paying in the dribs and drabs, that wouldn't be fully open yet.
What kind of organisation does that? You're a member, you've committed to being a member, you've been a member for the last 10 years, and now it's just, you know, F you.
I know, it's not, absolutely.
It is, sorry, that's just exactly what it is. It's F you, you're a member for 10 years, and now, excuse me, but it's just F you.
I know, no, it's not
yes,
that at
sorry,
all.
Sorry, it is, it is.
It's not, you know.
Most certainly is.
Now, Nessa, I would recommend you don't get angry with me because...
Sorry, yeah, but you're the one that's telling me I can't go out to play golf until maybe September or October. Could you find out how much exactly I owe? Then I will make a payment and I will be playing golf on the 27th of April.
It's a flat no.
What do you mean a flat no?
Fully paid up members to go first, the rest after that. You know what I mean?
What's so, after that?
It's just a difficult one to call. It's a bit of a head scratcher.
Honestly, you know yourself. Two fucking fingers. Remember that club for 10 years. I'll tell you something. Could be changes coming yet.
What I would say is there's no need to get annoyed at me because I'm just
I'm not getting annoyed with you. I'm just annoyed.
That might jeopardise the investigation into the complaints about you.
What complaints about me?
The way you were playing in previous to the pandemic.
Sorry?
There's been a number of complaints. Some of your friends, Barbara and Margie and Marjorie and Alvy, have made complaints about you. The attitude you had on the course. And there was don't you drive a white Ford? They said that there was, you parked that in one of the, in the captain's car park space.
I most certainly did not. I most certainly did not.
You most certainly did.
I did not.
You did.
I have never parked in the captain's car. Sometimes when I'm attending meetings, I might park in the
captain's space.
No, in the pro, in the spot beside the pro. I have never parked in the captain's spot ever in my life. That Margie, Alvy, and
Margie, yeah, they made the complaint, and then there was CCTV footage of you parking in the captain's space.
Well, hang on a second. I did not park in the captain's space.
Okay, well, somebody else maybe stole your car and parked it there.
I might have put it there for 2 minutes while I was running into the pro shop.
Ah, you see, there we go now.
I didn't, but I don't ever remember parking in the captain's spot. I did not.
Just for 2 minutes?
No, I didn't. I never parked in the captain's spot. Ever.
Okay, well, I'll put that down here. Look, let me just write that down. Denies all knowledge of that.
And my attitude on the golf course.
So swinging your club around in the air and shouting, get up the yard at your own ball.
Oh my God, we do that all the time.
Shouting, that's, get up the yard.
That's all banter, getting up the yard. That's all banter.
No, I know, but it's shouting, get up the yard, and then chasing the ball. Flapping your wings.
No, sorry. If you knew me, I don't run. I don't flap my wings. I don't swing my golf club in the air. Somebody is telling lies.
Okay, well, so one of the reports was that you were flapping your wings and saying, baka! Baka! And running up and down the greens.
Oh, dear Jesus Christ almighty.
Macaw!
I don't even know what macaw is.
That's a bird noise.
Somebody is mixing me up with somebody else because I have never done that in my life.
So what you're saying to me is somebody got your car, parked in the captain's space, and then ran around the greens shouting macaw with their wings flapping.
I don't understand what this is all about.
It's about bird noises when people are trying to play a game.
I don't even know what bird noise means
It's a type of, well, maybe I'm getting it wrong. It could have been quack, quack. Quack, quack.
No, sorry. I'm sorry. My mother was a member of that golf club. My mother brought me up to be respectful on the golf course.
Macaw!
I have never, unless I'm having a bit of banter with the girls on the fairway, but I would never shout on the golf course, ever.
No, it's not really shouting is the problem. It's more the bird noises and flapping the wings.
Sorry.
And ducking the head up and down like a penguin. That's another one.
Macaw! Oh, dear God, no.
Macaw!
That is not me. So who made that complaint about me?
Gavin, the golf pro, said that it wasn't even a very good bird impression. You'd know it was supposed to be a bird, but it could have been any animal. Macaw!
Absolutely not. You know, he makes one up.
Could you say macaw to me and I'll be able to cross-reference it with the CCTV footage?
Macaw.
No, a bit louder, like a bird. Macaw!
I don't even know what bird
you shout it and flap your wings there.
I don't flap my wings. Excuse me, I'm a 6-year-old person. I don't flap my wings.
Just for the interest of science.
No.
Macaw! Like that.
No,
just give us one of those.
Macaw.
No, a bit louder?
No, that's as loud as I
just one
want.
Tiny bit louder.
I don't.
I can bump you up to August if you shout macaw.
No. At this stage, I'm probably going to leave the club. And I'm just about to ring Mark.
What does your son think of this?
What does my son think of what?
Of you dancing around the golf club shouting, flapping your wings,
honest,
causing a scene?
I don't dance around the golf club flapping my wings and making bird noises.
What do you think, Alex?
She does it, definitely she does.
Oh, you f***ers! You f***ers!
I'm going to leave the club after this.
Who is that?
That's your lovely son, Alex.
And who are you?
This is Jim, Jim and Nobby from FM The Horse, Strawberry Alarm Clock.
Sorry, Nessa.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Oh, my God. Alex, I didn't think it would go that well.
No, you were brilliant. The Bacardi.
Flapping your wings.
You probably there sitting in the kitchen going, Bacardi. That's cool.
Alex, you're out of the wheel.
I was sitting there on the other end of the line. That was so funny.
It was not funny.
It was. And you're back in the captain's spot. I am exactly that.
Thanks again to Jim, Jim and Nobby for giving us special permission to use that. If you enjoyed it, do check more pranks from them on the Strawberry Alarm Clock page on the FM104.ie website.
That Great Business Show.
One of the most oft-repeated business stories is that of Victor Kiam, who famously said he liked the Remington electric shaver so much he bought the company that made it. Well, here's an Irish version of the same story. Accountant Sinead Heffernan used to order the books for a bakery called Thunders. She liked it so much when the business came up for sale, she bought it. And since then, she and her husband have really ramped up the business, and we're delighted that she's here to tell us how she has achieved that growth in a highly, highly competitive marketplace. Welcome to That Great Business Show, Sinead.
Thank you, Conal.
You bought the business.
We did.
You were an accountant.
We were. We still are.
Was accountancy so bad that you decided to go and make real bread? That was so bad. I promised myself I wouldn't make tell stupid
we'll let
puns.
You have one.
I've got kids all over the world, and when they hear that, they said, oh, God, Dad, you are so embarrassing.
Mortified.
Exactly. So my apologies. Back to business. You bought Thunders. Why?
We did. We did the books, as we said, as we have said in the story, for a number of years. For Thunders, owned by a baker. And when I met his team, when we got involved, they used to say he had his head in a bag of flour. And that's where he was. That's where he was comfortable. So he wanted to retire. He was diagnosed with a really awful illness. And for the first few years of his diagnosis, he had his company on the market. He wanted the bakery to stay open, to stay in business, to outlast. I suppose he was responsible for the Thunders brand at that time.
And he was the Mr. Thunder, wasn't it?
He was the nephew.
But was the surname?
His surname was Lonergan.
Oh,
so
sorry,
he was
I beg your
the
pardon.
Nephew.
Yeah, okay.
So he couldn't get an investment or a buyer for the business as a going concern. He just had property developers wanting the buildings. So a couple of years later, my husband said, sure, what do you think? Around Christmas time.
Hang on a second. You weren't just sitting down and saying, well, if it was Christmas, you weren't sitting eating the turkey and like just randomly
no.
You say.
I suppose Stephen had a lot of empathy for Tony and it was a viable business. He helped him through he did the books and we were involved through the recession. So he knew it could withstand a recession. So I was really heavily pregnant with my fourth child. Maybe it was the pregnancy hormones. I said, yeah, sure, go on. And long story short, we got involved in a bakery that was a production facility, 3 retail outlets, a team under severe pressure. And the rest is history.
Well, it's not really because I'll start at the very beginning. Did you know anything at all about a bakery besides the books?
I used to bake at home.
Oh, well, that's, I mean,
you know, Mom would have me on a step filling the freezer every fortnight. Mm-hmm. But no, I did not.
Is that not daft as I wouldn't expect you to go off, say, and buy a car manufacturer because you'll drive a car.
No, I don't think so. I think if you've got a product that makes sense, that bakery is, you know, I can't go into a room, like a training session, any kind of any room and not meet somebody who has a story to tell me about when they were a child and what Thunders meant to them. Their mom, their cakes, it has the legacy in Dublin anyway that, you know, it just resonates with people. So we knew it had a reputation and we knew it, they were located, the three locations, Fiz, Brooklyn Tarf and Drumcondra had huge populations around them. It was very much your local bakery and he really had a quality product. The bakery we went into was, we used to call it the house that Jack built because ovens had to be replaced. Everything had to be replaced.
So much for your audit.
We did that. We did that. But we built that in. So that was in the investment. The price that we paid was reflective of all of the equipment that we had to buy. And he introduced us. So he passed away not long after we bought it. Yeah. So he introduced us to all of the suppliers. The bakery world is a very small world, so you've got to know the guys who can fix a 100-year-old mixer. No bother. They'll just take it off you and come back the next day with it done.
I know so. I'm going down a little rabbit hole here, but this, now you've just kind of triggered something in my head. Honestly, 100 years old?
Yeah.
Wow. That's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, solid. And even to get parts for them now is kind of difficult, so... and when parts become available, we'd nearly have suppliers saying, look, I have access to X, Y, and Z. Do you want me to buy a few just for reserves? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
To shift them out of the bakery, these things were made to last.
Yeah.
Unlike the newer versions of them.
So you started with three units or three mm-hmm. shops. And like you said, you've got a fantastic population and you're a great name for within the business and the great product. But other bakers will say that, of course. And you're also competing with the door deliveries or the supermarket deliveries and the supermarket bakeries. And I can think of, I don't know, 20, 30, 40, 60, 80 places where I can buy bread.
Mm.
What differentiates you?
Yeah, you can. You can buy bread in a supermarket. You can buy fancy bread in a supermarket. We just don't add anything to our bread to make it last as long as the supermarket needs it to last. So I don't want to say it's free of everything, but it's definitely better for you. We have adapted and we've gone from very much the traditional batch bread turnover, which we could never leave, into the more contemporary ones now with customer demands.
What is that customer demand? What is selling at the moment?
Sourdough.
Why is that? I do see sourdough absolutely everywhere.
Where did sourdough start? I don't know where sourdough started, but...
Could have been in California.
Possibly. Mm. It's something that you can make at home. It's something that we all made, lockdown number one. And I suppose we didn't have a really... good sourdough, and we took our lockdown number one very seriously, and we got sourdough to be much, much better than we had it.
How do you do that?
It's time. Sourdough is time, and the right starter, and the bakers where they wouldn't have just had to come in on the bread shift and just produce hundreds. They had time to tinker around with their starter, and we got it. We got up. We came up with this nice sour flavor. I don't call it a flavor. It's a sour.
I love that taste, actually.
Yeah.
It is very special. And so I suppose maybe that's what drives the demand.
Yeah. There's nothing in it. There's no preservatives in it. It's, you know, it's soft on the inside, chewy on the outside. It toasts well. It's, you know.
Let me remind you, you're an accountant.
Mm-hmm.
You're not sounding like an accountant.
I kind of, did I lose my hat? I mean, I know. Stephen and I have really changed how we contribute to the businesses since we've gone in. It was very much financial, very much margin. But we had to do that to understand it. And now I would be more in product development. I'd be more responsive to what's going on. Like what's going on in London now will be relevant in Ireland in maybe 3 or 4 years. You can't just
in baking.
Mm,
really?
Mm, you can't just take what's going on around the world and say, "Oh, let's do that." It's too fast for Ireland. So we will embrace it eventually. So I've been more involved in the product development, and we've gone from round and square cakes to more novelty, which, and I would say to the baker, right, this is where the world is going. What can we do? And they'll come up with these wonderful creations. And then I'll say, okay, we need to make that to a price where customers will spend without a second thought. So they'll always come up with a 350 euro version of what maybe we want to sell for maybe 55 or 60 euros. So, but to, you have to start somewhere, and then we scale it and price it so that we can do a lot of them at the same time. And but they still are a quality. What looks good doesn't always taste good. So we have to make sure that if it takes 3 days to finish something that's 350 euros, how do you get the cake to still taste as good day three? So obviously, that's hard. You know, the bakery have to work with the finishing room, and it all has to be. So I'm more in the product development.
And I go back again, when you bought the business, you wouldn't have known what a finishing room was.
No. And do you know what? I always thought I had something to prove when I went into that. Because I was, when we went in first, I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning going into work to learn it. And I worked in that finishing room, and I worked in the bakery, and I worked in the shop because I had to understand it. And I don't have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning anymore.
Four.
No, it's not even that. It's maybe six. And but that's because it took a long time to get a team together who would work and create at the same time. And then who, if I didn't know what we were trying to create, how could they, you know, so we're kind of all together now and the on the journey so we all understand what we're doing, what our plan is, where the growth is, and we will be developing this summer what we think we will be selling next February, March.
Based on what you might have seen in London 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow, that really is intriguing. The breakdown of the business in terms of bread versus your cakes, I was going to say, there used to be a nice word, fancy good. Not was it fancy good? Not fancy goods or something like that,
fancy
wasn't
goods
it?
Goods is a thing, yeah. Confectionery, it's called now.
Confectionery,
yeah.
What? How does it split? And you know, are you getting higher margin on your cockamamish?
Bread would be the highest margin.
Would it be okay? Yeah. So,
I would have said it would have been cake a while ago, but with the cake, novelty cake business going in the direction it's going, you need higher skill. It's a higher rate of pay. You know, but you can put the retail price on to reflect that it is just a less of a margin, and the bread is the winner there.
It's the bread and butter. I'm sorry. I'll stop this. I'll stop it. You started with three. You said.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you now?
We're at 12, plus a cafe, which I thought might have been a bakery with seats. It was not. It's the catering industry. Is entirely different. So we have 12.
That's interesting. Just develop that one about the...
I have this lovely idea. Because often people will come into Drumcondra and they say, have you no chairs? Could we... We get a lot of Americans through Drumcondra. Couldn't buy a coffee and something. And have you no seats? And for years we can't do that. And, you know, HSE and all the regulations that come with that. So we did open one in a cafe in Liffey Valley, and with our bakery and with our deli offering, with a hot food offering. And then it's just a much faster pace. It requires much more prep in the food. We wanted to keep the food offering as in keeping with the scratch recipes that we had in the bakery. So it was a lot of labor involved. And then customers, when they're seated and it's not fast food, expect more. So you've got the hospitality. So you've got what we thought we had, plus prep, plus hospitality, plus then we have to turn tables and make sure everybody goes out happy with what they've got. So it's we got a consultant in to help us with that.
After the fight?
No, before.
Oh, did you?
To okay. help us to set it up. Yeah. And then she stayed on a bit longer to help with the hospitality that we weren't expecting. So, so we opened another one in Mespel Road, which worked well for a while. Then we closed that. And I think the food is fast enough there. The Mespel Road, huge commuter.
Very office.
Yeah, yeah. And just needed their no, we were working away there, and we were approached by another business, which is much more fast food, to take over our lease. So I said we were in the middle of a construction project at home and working out of a utility room with a steamer and a George Foreman. And Stephen came in, he said, "What do you think about surrendering the lease to Dan?" I went, "Are you mad?" Because this was our baby, you know, yeah. how could we possibly? And I thought, oh my God, why wouldn't we?
Yeah, sell the baby.
Yeah, and we walked away without any debt, which was great. And we have Liffey Valley still, which team of 15, which are great team, just not at work now. So we'll get them back soon enough.
Heartbreaking for them, heartbreaking for you. Mm-hmm. Hope to God that is coming to an end.
Yeah.
But I think, well, I was looking at the numbers, I think we're up at 1.3 million vaccines at the moment. So
yeah, fingers crossed.
The growth plans.
Mm.
What are they?
At the moment, we're limited by social distancing.
No, assume that we're get out of
it.
COVID.
Yeah. Growth is online for us.
That's really interesting. Yeah. Everybody who comes on to the Great Business Show says online. Mm. And I'm thinking, but you're not going to sell, you know, bottles of water or brown bread or something online. But you are?
The writing was on the wall before COVID. And our website was quite complicated to navigate for a customer point of view. Our developers referred to our website as the patchwork quilt in their team meetings. And we qualified for a grant during the summertime. So we applied for it and we got it, thankfully.
Was this the Leo?
Yeah, Enterprise Ireland were...
They give you a digital transformation grant or something, isn't that it? Yeah.
You could apply for up to €40,000.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah, nice. So we went to the developers. She had a proposal back to me next day.
I'd say.
She was so enthusiastic. And we've worked on it. And we would spend a lot of time in the office before that explaining how to get to the through the checkout. So the priority was one step out. And...
the lesson taught to us all by Jeff Bezos, because that is how he made his grillions, because he patented or he registered or whatever, the single click. Did you know that? That's his real...
No, I didn't know that.
You see, you learn everything on the podcast. So back to so isn't it a problem though? I mean, you're not going to deliver a single batch loaf to me, are you?
No.
No.
Because so you're not going to pay a tenner for that.
Yeah.
So... What we've done is we've built an app. So many of our products are on the app, which are for collection, which means you can buy on the app and pop in. So you don't have to spend a lot of time. And we've also put all of our products on our website. So often people would buy, say, a cake for the weekend and add a few bits on. We do have people who gift. So we might have family, daughter hasn't seen parents for months and months and months, and might send a few coffee slices, and will spend on a delivery.
Yeah, that's really cool. I like that.
Yeah. Now, sometimes, you know, I'd be saying, are we really selling just this small thing for a delivery out to Rahini? Yes, we are, you know.
But you know your margin, so obviously it's worth your while.
Yes. We have refrigerated vans on the road. We are super busy at the weekends and during the week. We need to fill them, like, you know, sale is a sale. And it's everything we have in the novelty cake or in a cake or in breads are online. We are spending much less time on the phones helping people through it. We do have an elderly generation who would only be over-the-counter customers who will not let us do it for them. So I hear and I do talk them through so that they understand how to do it. And now I have one customer who orders 10, I think it's batch loaves on every second Friday. And we expect it and the order pops in. So there's regulars who would be my parents' age buying online for their convenience so they don't have to spend a long time and they know it'll be there for them how they want it to be there. And
I presume they're frozen. They put them into the freezer or something.
I assume this. And I assume so.
Well, that's just selling them out, behind your back, and exactly, and then they make a little margin themselves.
Perhaps.
So, online is the future. Mm-hmm. Any further physicals? Will you go open any further? Like, you are you're totally concentrated on Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
Would you go outside?
We've been asked to.
Yeah.
We opened a bakery in Donaghmede Shopping Centre during lockdown last November, and it is thriving. And that landlord, you know, has units all over Ireland, I suppose. And a few other landlords have said, would you go, you know, out County Meath, County Kildare? And I don't know. How Stephen and I have always worked used to be when you could go out on a Friday, and we were pushing to get more and more sites, let's say 8 years ago. He'd be all around town, always out in the car. I saw X, Y, and Z, or I have 3 emails from auctioneers, and I would pick them apart for footfall, for loads and loads of questions. We might end up with one that we'd look at, and that's how we opened shops back then. So we're kind of back to that now, where we have emails, we have auctioneers, we have, you know, what do you think about? And it's to try and get our product to a location that's many more kilometres away and have it profitable.
Yeah,
so, and they're in the time that you would expect to be there for a bakery. So if you've got a fridge full of cake at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, something's wrong. But if it doesn't get there till 11, you've lost, you know, maybe 40% of your customers. So it's logistics, really. I think online is really, I mean, we're dealing with about over maybe 1,600 transactions a month, where we would last year would have been used to 300.
Wow. That is some jump.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's been really tough to manage that load.
Yeah, but you're getting there.
We are.
But one question that I don't think anybody has an answer to it. Do you think that'll last? What happens when the great COVID goes away and we can actually go back into shops again and?
I'm working with a branding company now, where we did a brand exercise in 2019 to understand who was our customer, because we were moving online, and we're doing a reassessment of our brand and who is our customer now. And this woman works with a lot of companies in the branding space, including China and that part of the world. And patterns haven't changed back to how we used to do it. People are still...
Where they have already opened or reopened,
mm-hmm.
as in China.
They have already opened.
Yeah.
And people are maintaining the buy online to click and collect. So it hasn't shifted back to the way it was. And so far, they're probably 9-10 months ahead of us. There's no sign of it changing back. So we have to prepare for people valuing their time in different ways, which means we need to remain convenient.
A couple of last questions. Are you going to double size in the next 18 months or 3 years or?
Maybe 5.
Do you think?
I think we could. Yeah.
Is that what keeps you awake at night, thinking the nice thoughts like that?
No, that's not what keeps me awake at night. But I'm positive that we would. Yeah.
Final question. You know what I'm going to ask you. Mm-hmm. Who would you hire in a heartbeat?
I'm going to go outside of Ireland for this one.
You're allowed.
I was introduced to this person by a lovely lady, Mary McKenna of Tour America. And his name is Simon Sinek. And he's a leadership guru, for want of another word, online. He's based out in the States. And I follow him on LinkedIn, and he's written books and I've bought them, and he keeps, it's from a leadership perspective, he keeps you focused. Sometimes we kind of need to get out of our own heads so that we can, you know, move forward. And I have leaned on him so many times in the last, say, 6 years.
That is fantastic.
Yeah. I've never met the man. I follow a lot of people on LinkedIn, but I would seek his videos out. Sometimes he just has a phrase up on his page on LinkedIn. So
that's Simon Sinek. How do you spell Sinek?
S-I-N-E-K.
That's how I spelled it in front of me here.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
He has a lovely book called Start With Why. And I tend to read when I'm on my holidays and I have space outside of work.
Holidays. What are they?
I have a stack of books ready for my next one.
That is Sinead Heffernan, who's going on holidays as soon as she can. And she is co-founder of Thunderous Bakery, and she has other business interests as well. Sinead, thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show.
Looking for the best work-life balance? Why not start your new business life in one of Ireland's beautiful Gaeltacht locations? Uadarás na Gaeltachta has created Ireland's biggest digital hub, G-Tech. High-speed broadband just for you. Hosail Noah Fnachlat. Your new work-life awaits. Find out more at uadarás.ie. Backing great women-led businesses on every show.
As well as showcasing great businesses on That Great Business Show, we also like exploring potential new markets like South Africa, a country of 60 million people, English-speaking and roughly on the same time zone as Ireland. On Thursday, the 29th of April, you're all invited to a Zoom webinar by Business Ireland Cape Town. It's aimed at highlighting the many, many, many opportunities that there are for two-way trade between the two countries. And we here have a sneak preview of what will be discussed on that webinar, because it is my great, great, great pleasure to welcome someone very special to the podcast today. She is South Africa's ambassador to Ireland, Yolisa Maya. Welcome to That Great Business Show, Ambassador.
Thank you very much, Connor. Thank you for having me.
And you were just telling me that you are now 2 years here.
Yes.
And you haven't run away on us yet.
I don't intend to.
The culture shock must have been something else when you came over, was it?
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, we have a biggish Irish community in South Africa. So some of us have had contact with Irish people. But coming here, we found that things are quite different. First of all, everything is just here at your fingertips. Your transportation, everything, you have access to everything. And also, it's easy for our boys to adapt, even now. They enjoy being here because they're able to walk around on their own.
Your boys being your kids?
Yes. Well, I have four boys, including my partner at home, and we brought three of our youngest kids.
But you are here to talk to me, to talk to our listeners about the huge opportunities, because it is a massive country. It is exactly the same population, I think, as the United Kingdom. And yet I would say the amount of trade that we do there is minuscule. And there's no good reason for that.
Yes.
So tell our listeners, what are some of the opportunities?
Let me start by appreciating this opportunity. It's a real, real honor for me to be here. I will tell you why. The new normal under COVID-19 has necessitated that we rethink our working methods and the approach we've always taken to our work. And it has also propelled us to work aggressively in speeding up our efforts to seek new ways of operating in the new normal and show tangible results. So I am pleased to be here so that we can showcase,
to have you.
We can showcase our country. To come to the business opportunities, especially in relation to the webinar or virtual meeting that is going to be hosted by BISA, Business Ireland and Southern Africa, next Thursday, the 29th.
It's the longest name on a website I have ever seen. It is businessireland-capetown.co.za. Doesn't exactly trip off the tongue, but it doesn't matter because it's a huge opportunity.
It's supposed to be impactful. It's supposed to make you pause and listen and think, they can't have such a long name if there is nothing worth listening to in there.
And there's tons to listen to.
Absolutely. You know, I would like, with your permission, to first just outline a little bit what our mandate is in Ireland, what we do here or what we attempt to do here. We have something called a Joint Commission of Cooperation, which is an umbrella structure between governments, co-chaired by deputy ministers of foreign affairs. At first, we had something called a partnership forum that was established in 2004. Then in 2019, we elevated that structure to this JCC. We have many areas of cooperation, including education. You will find that I talk about education all the time. And sometime later, if we have the time, I will tell you why. We have many flagship programs here, science and education, sports, arts and culture, tourism, all of which focus us on people-to-people linkages, very important for us. We have agriculture, of course, and obviously trade and investment. However, we are now guided by the circumstances of the times we are in. So we are aggressively pursuing trade and investment opportunities more than everything else. And we're encouraging these efforts by the already strong historical and current political ties and people-to-people relations between our two countries, who have a very long history. We could pursue this conversation some other time, as I said. Like many other economies in the world, ours was also devastated by COVID, but the business climate is now improving. Just to give you a few pointers, in the first two quarters of 2020, COVID notwithstanding, FDI's inflows recorded in the first two quarters, if I may say that, were considerably higher than we thought they would be. Agriculture, our mainstay, continued to show resilience. Mining, our other mainstay, exports there rose sharply to 160 billion rand in the third quarter from 116.5 billion in the previous quarter.
So we know things are okay there.
Yes.
Economically. What are the opportunities that you and I should be? Let's say you meet me and I say, come here. There's an opportunity down in South Africa to do this. Yes. Or to do that. My friend Frank Gormley down there was telling me that there is training, huge opportunities in training.
Absolutely.
Huge opportunities in services. And you can sit in the sunshine while you're running your services company, which is rather nice as well.
Yes.
There are huge opportunities in basing backup services there as well.
Yes, indeed.
So anything else that you can suggest? Or you're obviously on top of it.
You know, property and hospitality. Of course, for now, tourism, hospitality, leisure, all those have been badly affected or adversely affected by COVID-19, but there are tremendous opportunities there. The government has come in with specific projects that have been costed, and in property and hospitality, there is a cost attached of 8 billion rand. Government comes in as a partner and they say, We can offer this. What can you come in with? So,
when you say property, are we talking about property development?
Property development, yes.
Okay.
In all the spheres, it could be residential, it could be commercial, it could be anything that has to do with property.
And is it matched funding, or what is the 8 billion rand? What does that translate into to euro? What's the roughly speaking? Is it 5 to 1 or something like that?
It's much better than that for the Irish. You divide by 17 now.
Okay.
Yes.
So things are looking very attractive.
Absolutely. This is something else I was going to say towards the end, that there are specific opportunities for Irish people to come and settle in South Africa. And that is one of them, that your euro buys so much more from our economy, from our markets right now.
We want to keep our people here, but we want to keep them trading. But there are these opportunities. What about taxation? Just the ordinary day-to-day stuff there. How have we got? We've presumably got taxation agreements between the two countries and all.
Yes, we do, and also we have a structure called the IDZ, your Independent Development Zones, where industrial development zones, if you trade there, you settle your business there, you have tax rebates. You have tax rebates personally and for your business. The rental there is really reduced to make sure that you come in and settle. So in all the provinces, you know that we have 9 provinces. In all the provinces, we have those IDZs. So tax becomes very affordable if you go in there.
Is there one of those zones in Cape Town? Because the Thursday event is about Cape Town, isn't it?
It is about Cape Town, but we keep on saying we try our best to make people understand that South Africa is not just about Cape Town. We have other beautiful areas, beautiful scenery, beautiful resources. Well, if you look at my province, for instance, where I come from, and my boss will hate me for saying this because I normally say charity begins at home. I love my country, but I love my province. No. You will have the wildest wild coasts, the bluest oceans, and the whitest sand. You will have your hiking trails. You will have Nelson Mandela's home there. The route that he traversed from his birthplace to where he settled, to the route he traversed when he traveled from Gunu in the Eastern Cape to Gauteng. So we have a lot of things. We have
no doubt about it, because I was lucky enough to be there. It is a most beautiful place, and it's fascinating, it's gorgeous, etc.
It is.
But
yes,
back to business.
Yes, indeed. Indeed.
I still want to know, I need to know.
Yes.
Areas, because I think when we were having a chat on the phone, you were mentioning, for example, aquaculture.
Yes.
Is that there are huge opportunities there.
Absolutely.
Such as?
You know, we have a program called the Oceans Economy. And as I mentioned then, we have a very long coastline, 3,900 kilometers. Coastline. And we also have the continental shelf, which makes it double the landmass that we have. We have your fish farming or your aqua farming. We have offshore wind. We have offshore drilling. And we know that Ireland already does these things. We have renewable energy, not just wind, but also hydro deep in the sea. So there is a lot that is happening. But aquaculture is for us about farming with your fish that I know that we already do in Ireland and many other things. So there are large opportunities there. But I would also like to come to business process outsourcing, because I know that this is where the most opportunities are.
Love to hear it.
As you know, both South Africa and Ireland use English as a business language.
Mm-hmm.
And most countries normally outsource their call centers and where their businesses interface with their customers or would-be customers. South Africa is open for that. We have a huge youth dividend, properly trained. At the moment, we have a verified database of about 400,000 unemployed graduates.
Graduates. Okay. That is a big pool of resources, of human resources.
Yes. So Irish businesses could outsource their businesses to be conducted or for that interface to happen from South Africa.
Business person in Ireland wants to do that. Just take that perfect example.
Yes.
How do they go about it?
We are the bridge.
You being the embassy, is it?
We being the embassy, yes. We are the bridge. But there are contact areas at home. There is an area called Invest SA or Invest South Africa. There is the Department of Trade and Industry. So we once people interact with us, we then make those details available. It's a pity I didn't bring them with me right now, but I am sure that whoever could call me, I'm going to give you my mobile number. They will.
You see, we go straight to it. We have the ambassador's personal mobile number.
I give that to everyone.
Oh, don't say that. No. We're special. This is, you're now on Team GBS, that great business show.
And I will
you're
remember
give
that.
Them their
I will,
phone number.
I will remember
so anybody
that.
Anybody who wants to have a direct dealing with you, that's a fantastic. I can't ask any more than that. So that's excellent. Outsourcing, business outsourcing.
Yes.
Any other one?
We have infrastructure development. Infrastructure is in many sectors. Your energy again, renewable energy, your roads, your bridges, telecoms, IT and all those areas. And there's a tag of 7.7 billion rand attached to that. As I said, government comes in with you to make sure that people have those guarantees. So there's a lot of opportunities there. And one area that has done very well between South Africa and Ireland, forestry, paper and pulp.
That's interesting.
Yes.
Because you may not know this, but there is a massive shortage of timber in Ireland at the moment. And timber prices, somebody was telling me, have gone up something like 20% very recently.
Ooh.
For reasons I won't go into, but it's got to do with licensing of felling of trees here.
Oh,
if you've got trees, I bet you that we have buyers for them. So I presume that, you're trying to sell your trees and they sound very attractive.
We do sell our trees, but we fell our trees responsibly and in a sustainable way. So those forestry industries, paper and pulp, the tag there is 6.3 billion rand. We also have fast-moving consumer goods. So anyone who has a product that they think could do well, we could talk business.
Well, you know what's going to happen next? Our sponsor is De Facto, and there's a guy there called Tom Murphy. He will be first onto your mobile phone because he wants the whole world to shave with his Mayo-made shaving oil. It's gorgeous stuff.
Please tell Tom Murphy that we are open for business.
I love to hear it.
Indeed.
So what else moving along there? Any other ones that really pop out at you there?
You know, our tourism at the moment, as I said, has been decimated. There is no point in me going back there, but
you are going to open again, aren't you?
I was just going to say we would like our Irish friends and partners to stand in readiness so that when we open, they are the first ones off the...
When do you think you might open, do you think? Any ideas at all?
Because the infection numbers of COVID keep going down. They are very low at the moment and mortalities are very low. In the next 2 months or so.
Oh, that's great.
Because
you're in the winter now. So, in fact, if you're trying to get into the South African summer,
yes,
good time to be trying to plan it.
Yes, indeed. We are hoping that in the next 6 weeks or so, we'll be given the blueprint of how to resell our tourism. But you already know that Irish people are looking forward to visiting South Africa. They rated us first amongst other destinations, especially destinations in Europe, where or when COVID slows down, they said they would like to go to South Africa because we have all the facilities they are looking for. We have blue beaches, we have mountaineering, they can climb as much as they want. Gliding.
You're leaving out the most interesting one for Irish people, game parks.
I'm coming to that. You know, we have so much and so little time. We have game parks. People come for those game parks and just our open spaces. And of course, the blue skies, almost 10 months of the year. Every year, so people can be out there in the outdoors. And as a result, we're trying to build up our rural tourism and our township tourism so that people don't flock back to the small spaces they are used to and they normally go to.
Well, so, we're going to run out of time now, so Frank Gormley will kill me if I don't mention again that the webinar, or the event is on the 29th of April.
Yes.
Anybody is invited. It's a Zoom event.
Yes.
And you, Ambassador, will be on it, I saw.
Yes.
And it is, anybody who wants details, it's on businessireland-capetown.co.za. Trips off the tongue. But before I let you go, you know what we do here. You're going to have to tell me, who for your team would you hire in a heartbeat?
There was a giant of a man in South Africa called Richard Mabonya. You may have heard of him.
No, I can put my hands up and say no.
Richard Mabonya, let me start by saying, you will know that South Africa used to be very discriminatory.
Absolutely.
You could not start a business, especially in the urban areas. So he started businesses in Soweto, the biggest black area, township in South Africa. He was a school teacher from one of the most rural provinces, Limpopo, the very north of our country, neighboring Zimbabwe. At 24, school teacher, he decided to volunteer at one shop owned by a white gentleman. This gentleman was very generous. When he saw that this young man was very hardworking, gave him soil stock because he was a merchant of clothing, men's clothing. With the money that he made, he started his empire. And by the time he passed away at the age of 99, in 2020, last year, January, his empire had grown. He has a huge shopping mall in Soweto with a cinema, Noch Al. Noch Al means on top of everything else. It's an African term. I mean an Afrikaans term. This shopping mall has 200 shops, plus the shopping mall. He had shops over 12 areas of South Africa. He had car dealerships. What was most important about him was that he was a strategist. He was a strategic thinker, but also he was not afraid to get his hands dirty. He was hands-on, he was strategic, he was innovative, and he got his children to be part of his team. So although he has passed away, his businesses are doing as much as they did when he was still alive. I know that, and on top of that, I am so sorry, he established a training academy for entrepreneurs, especially for small business, where he imparted skills, trained young, ambitious South Africans who thought they wanted to be entrepreneurs like him for nothing. It's still there. It's still running. I'm sure that now in the times of COVID-19, when we want people who can think and act and produce results, he would be number one in my team.
It sounds pretty impressive. Now, I hadn't heard of him, and I presume most of Team GBS has not heard of him, but they have now. Great choice. Ambassador, thank you so much. That is Ambassador from South Africa to Ireland, Yolisa Maya. Thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Looking for the best work-life balance? Why not start your new business life in one of Ireland's beautiful Gaeltacht locations? Údarás na Gaeltachta has created Ireland's biggest digital hub, G-Tech. High-speed broadband just for you. Cosail nóith nachtlat. Your new work-life awaits. Find out more at údarás.ie. You're listening to That Great Business Show. ThatGreatBusinessShow.com.
And if you're listening to us in South Africa or anywhere else in the world, remember that our sponsor De Facto Shaving Oil, made in Mayo, Ireland, is expanding worldwide and wants to contact high-energy grooming distributors and markets anywhere in the world. You can go straight to founder Tom Murphy via the defactoshave.com website and have a chat with him there.
This could be your ad on thatgreatbusinessshow.com.
That Great Business Show.
Paternity leave. No, I said that correctly. Paternity leave, paid bin collections, sock subscriptions, and gene testing kits for fitness. They're just some of the weird and wonderful benefits that my next guest has seen offered to employees. David Kindlin is co-founder of Dublin-based Epion, a company that helps organizations leverage technology to manage their HR and employee benefits. It's used by over 900 companies globally, and they've already raised $1.25 million in funding to date. The bad news for employees, though, is David believes that the days of offering employees ping pong tables and free office snacks, well, they're over, and we had to have David in to join us on That Great Business Show to explain just why. David, how are you?
I'm great, Connell. Firstly, thanks for having me on.
You're very, very, very welcome, because we need to find out, for all of the people in Google Land and elsewhere, the ping pong tables are going to disappear. The snacks, the free snacks, they're going to disappear. Why?
I suppose that we've seen a huge change in, you know, what's happened because of COVID and office restrictions and people not being able to go into work. And you know, employers refocusing, refocusing resources to support the massive change that's taken place. And, you know, even in our own situation, I mean, we're in a we're in one of these co-sharing spaces in Dublin over on Northwall Quay. You know, they've cut back seriously on the, you know, the snacks, the biscuits and even the beer, you know, and this place, this office was, you know, was notoriously known for, you know, the whole free beer piece. And, you know, when we joined first, we were like kind of going, this is interesting, free beer in the office place. But in actual fact, we didn't actually take as much advantage of as we thought that we would.
I'm sure it's all worked out very carefully somewhere, which you may as well give a shout out to.
Yeah, it's WeWork. Yeah, and okay. a great space to be in. And, you know, there's plenty of office space around the city. They are, and they're great guys that run it here in Ireland. You know, and very supportive of us during the, you know, during the pandemic and stuff like that. So good to give them a shout out.
So basically, because things are tight, the ping pong and everything else, is going out.
Yeah, well, I suppose, you know, if you think about, you know, social distancing and, you know, contact, you know, different people picking up different things, you know, whether it's a ping pong ball or a paddle or whatever the case might be.
Hopefully it's going to go. COVID is going to go soon.
Yeah, we can all live in the dream world and think that, you know, we're going to wake up tomorrow morning and you know, Micheál Martin's going to be on the TV saying, hey, everyone, back to normal. You know, let's go back to 2019 when life was good. It's not going to happen, you know. I mean, it's going to take some time for vaccinations to roll out. The different strains, different variants. And look, I'm usually a really, really positive person, and I am trying to be as positive as I can. But let's live in the reality here that, you know, things are going to be a little bit different moving forward. They've already been massively different. They're going to be different into the future, and that's just my own personal view. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a medic. I'm just saying it is going to be strange.
Well, Twitter is full of people who seem to know an awful lot about science.
Absolutely.
Without any bits of paper behind it. Paul Trinity leave, paid bin collection, sock subscriptions, I knew a trip over that one, gene testing kits. How do you know that all of these companies these are being offered by companies?
Because they're using our platform to promote them with their employees. And we you know, if you look back kind of 15, 20 years ago, the employee benefits in Ireland were, you know, they were your stock standard. They were your pension, maybe your medical if you were lucky. Life insurance, income protection. They were your basic benefits that were provided. And, you know, the marketplace got very, very, what would I say? The demand came from the foreign direct investment coming into Ireland. So, you know, the Pfizers of the world were coming in and they were opening up and they were providing these amazing benefits. And then there was a talent struggle for everybody else. So everybody had to follow.
And nobody's changing jobs because there's a sock subscription.
Nobody's changing jobs because of a sock subscription.
You see, I had the same problem.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones.
It is a bit of a mouthful, but, you know, when employers are trying to compete, you know, when you know, if you're trying to hire a software developer, and I'm not going to pick on companies, but, you know, if you're trying to hire a software developer in Ireland, in particular in Dublin, and you're up against the guys with the billions on deposit, when you're trying to hire somebody, you won't be able to match the salary. You may not be able to match the incredible benefits that they provide. So you need to make an effort. So people have started to get creative. And you know, and genuinely, these are benefits that are currently hosted on our platform. There's a few companies around town. They're doing weird and wonderful things. And it's...
Go on, tell us some of the other ones.
I mean, you know, giving people... Well, food. You know, food is a big one. And, you know, the amount of companies I've spoken to over the years where you kind of go, look, you know, what are your pain points? You know, and they're like, oh, look, trying to hire people and trying to bring people in. We're in the same space as company, blah, blah, blah. They provide a full kitchen. So you can have your breakfast, your lunch and your dinner, which keeps you in the office.
Of course, that's the other side of it.
You end up working huge hours, etc. But they're like, you know, the money isn't necessary. They want to know who's providing food. What can they have for lunch? Can they eat when they want to eat? And they're like, we can't afford to put in a full service kitchen. If you've got 50 people, it does not pay you to put in an industrial sized kitchen in your office block to feed your team. So, you know, giving people, whether it's vouchers towards daily lunches or it's a once a month thing or whatever the case might be. And yeah, I mean, you know, lunch is another one.
Now, before we get on to what you're really here to talk about, which is Epion, Paul Trinity Leave, you better just explain what that is. It sounds like a ridiculous name.
Okay, so, well, paternity leave is paternity leave. It is leave for you to go and care for your beloved animal. So we came across this. And look, yeah, at the start, I remember looking at it kind of going, that's hilarious. But, you know, I'm a dog owner. We've got a golden retriever at home. we'd be lost without him. And if something was to happen to him, you need a bit of time to grieve. So, you know, we have a few employers, not just one. We've got a few employers who have actually introduced this. And I look, it's gimmicky and it's a topic. And look, we're talking about it.
Yep, and that's fair. Epion, what are you doing?
What are we doing?
Besides raising cash.
Okay. Well, we did that previously. Yeah. So what are we doing? Okay. So we are we're a full human resource information system. So HRIS, with a fully integrated employee benefits platform and a people analytics module. Okay. So if you look at the HRIS space out there, so there's the big guys out there, the Workdays, the SAPs, the Oracles, all those people. Okay. So you've got a bunch of people working for you. You need to manage their data. You need to manage their documentation. You need people to tell you when they're taking annual leave and when they're not. You need to know when people are in and out of the office. You need to report on certain data. And there's a lot missing in that space. So we decided to try and plug that space. And, you know, our target market is the mid-market. It is the SME space. We're not looking for companies with 10,000 people. We're looking for companies with, you know, anywhere from kind of 50 to 2,500 people. And we have a huge variance across our platform. We're currently operating Ireland, Australia, the UK, and we have a handful of clients in the US. And those clients in the US came as a result of the foreign direct investment in Ireland, where they were using our platform in Ireland. And they were like, oh, wow, this thing is pretty cool. Can we use it in the US? And the answer is yes.
Of course you can.
Of course. The answer is yes. What's the question?
What age is the company?
So we were founded in 2016 and we onboarded our first client in January 2017.
That's actually not bad growth, is it? Did I read it correctly? 900?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So
where are you finding them and how are you converting them?
Okay,
I'm sure your product is fabulous.
It's amazing.
But there are others. I'm sure there are others in the space.
There are. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So what are you doing? How are you boxing the other ones?
So, I mean, if you look at the space that's out there, I mean, one of the key pieces. Okay. So we've just been talking about employee benefits. If you look at a company's expenditure on an annual basis, item number one on that piece of paper is always going to be salaries. Item number two is either going to be kind of plant machinery and rent. Okay. Item number three, in most cases, is employee benefit spending. So it's pension contributions, it's medical insurance, life insurance. It's a huge part of a company expense. Historically, companies have been absolutely brutal at promoting how awesome they are by providing these benefits, and they never make any noise about it. Now, if you are, again, you know, a large multinational, again, with, you know, hundreds of millions in the bank, you can go and you can talk to employee benefit providers, you know, the big consulting houses who bring technology in to help you manage that piece. Now, that costs a huge amount of money. If you're an employer with 50 or 100 people or 500 people, you may not have the budget to go and provide that technology to be able to take advantage of the technology to be able to understand your benefit spending in a more understanding way to help you make decisions. So that's where we stand out from the crowd. And then the people analytics piece as well. So if you think about the data analytics platforms out there, the Tableaus and the Power BI by Microsoft. We have built our own version of that and we've integrated it within our platform. So whatever data you have belonging to your company in our platform, you can report on it. So they're the two things how we would stand out from the crowd. And then we do all of the normal HR stuff. So
now, I've been reading about you.
Okay.
You're not a software engineer.
I certainly am not.
How the hell did you become from? Because you were... What were you doing?
I was working as an employee benefit and insurance broker.
And you suddenly decided to become something else?
Yeah, well, I'll start at the beginning, shall I?
it's all on the website. It's at the back of a taxi.
I suppose, if we bring it back even before that, you know, look, I haven't done this on my own. We've not just my two co-founders, but, the team that we have with us.
Better give them a shout out, otherwise there won't be co-founders again.
Yeah, well, Ernest Legrand is based in New York. Ernest is the reason we have the tech that we have. Ernest is an ex-IBM guy and he's been developing platforms for years, great guy. Neil Fallon's my other co-founder, and he's a guy like myself. He's an employee benefits guy based out of London, and we were working together. We were working together on various clients. I had clients in Ireland who had a presence in the UK. They needed help. Neil was doing that. I was working then helping his clients that had a presence in Ireland. And, you know, we used to have these conversations and joke and say, look, we got to go into business together and do something. And, you know, we'd work together and we had a great working relationship. And then we decided about the, you know, the whole idea about, you know, trying to plug that gap in the market. Let's bring some technology to the table. And we were like, well, how do we build technology? So, you know, funny story about that. I rang Ernest in New York, and I'd met Ernest through a global network we're part of, and his wife was in a, working for another broker in the States, and I'd met Ernest through that. And I rang him and I was like, Ernest, I'm going to be in New York next Wednesday. Any chance I can buy you lunch? And he was like, yeah, it'd be great to see you. So I hung up the phone and I had to go and find my flights to get to New York for next Wednesday. I had no intention of being there. Went over and I pitched the idea to him. And he was like, yeah, he goes, look, let me think about it. I mean, it took me 6 months to convince him to come on board. And that's, I suppose, is where the journey started. So, you know, two insurance guys bringing a technology guy to the table. And
you are an Irish company.
We are very much an Irish company. So we're founded, registered, domiciled, headquartered out of North Wall Quay in Dublin. And, you know, we're very proud to be Irish. You know, Enterprise Ireland have also backed us. And again, they've been a huge asset to us around the world. So
900 already. How big can you go?
I think sky's the limit. It's
how big is the market? Well, the market
is enormous. I mean, you think about every mid-sized business out there around the world. You know, we don't just have to focus on Ireland. You know, you look at Ireland and there's a couple of 100,000 businesses. You look at the UK, there's a couple of million businesses. You look at the United States, you look at Australia, you look at the whole world. And, you know, at the moment, okay, you know, our platform, as I said, our platform has customers in Australia, the UK, Ireland and the US. You know, we could go anywhere. We genuinely could go anywhere. And we have companies out of Ireland who have people in more than two or three countries where they're using our platform locally in those markets to manage their HR function and their benefits. So the platform is customizable to help those employers in their local jurisdictions. And, you know, simple things like we, you know, as Irish people, we celebrate St. Patrick's Day. We get the 17th of March off. And if it falls on a Saturday, we get the Monday off. You know, around the world, there are various different holidays. You know, the Middle East have different holidays. Australia have different holidays. You can program them as a business into the platform.
I love little nuggets like that, of course. Yeah.
But they're the simple things, you know.
This is a question straight out of my head.
Yeah.
Who takes least holidays in the world? Everybody says the Americans, but...
I would say the United States. I remember
but
hearing...
they sneak in those other ones.
Yeah, look, I remember hearing years ago that, you know, when you start your career in the United States, you get 10 days leave and that's it. That's not true. You know, it depends on industry.
Yeah.
It depends on the state you work in, but most people in the United States that I know of and the guys that we're working with, you know, 20 days would be your standard.
Leave. They sneak them in somewhere. Yeah,
but they, you know, and then you've got based on years of service, you've got the ability to get more days. I mean, you know, I've met people in the US of up to 30 days annual leave. You know, and you know, again, as I said, growing up, you thought, you know, you'd never live in the United States because you only get 10 days leave. I mean, you know, that's 2 weeks at home with your mammy. How in God's name are you going to live in New York and come home and see mammy if you can't get time off work?
The company, as I mentioned, you've already raised 1.25. If you're really going to go big, 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 you're going to raise more.
Absolutely.
When?
I'd say in the near future. In the near future, without getting into...
Okay, that's fine. We don't try to trap anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Months, years, half a year,
months.
More?
Months.
That's fantastic.
Months.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other question about the locating and finding these businesses... I'm fascinated as to how are you doing it? How are you now? Okay, you mentioned like piggybacking on the your American companies here. They bring you over to the States.
Yeah,
I did say because every business you've got competition. How are you knuckling?
I'm not going to lie to you. It's not easy. It's not easy. It takes a lot. Look,
how tough is stuff?
Okay, I mean, look, I suppose I'll give you a prime example. I mean, distribution is key with any product. You know, you want to get it out there. It's got to generate revenue to pay for itself. So you got to get it out there. So for example, early on in our journey, I reached out to a HR consulting firm in the UK, a company called Ellis Whittam, and we currently power their HR technology. So we are their chosen partner to power we're their technology provider for their HRIS in the UK. So they would have about 400, just over 400 clients of that 900 on our platform.
It all sounds too easy. I bet you there must have been some serious wobbles. Give me just one, just to give people the sense that, phew, people go through the poo just like I'm going through at the moment, for example. Somebody
where do I start?
Well, did you hear any really, really big, oh, geez, well, let me just go back and live a simple life.
I suppose when you're out raising money, I mean, every business needs money, and any you know, any startup or any founder who says that they don't have sleepless nights about the fundraising, you know, and you think you hit a milestone and all of a sudden you're just knocked back, and it floors you. It absolutely floors you. I mean, it's, you know, there's a prime example.
So what keeps you going?
What keeps me going? Honestly, family. Genuinely, family keeps me going.
Is that the push from them or the pull? In other words, to make yourself mega wealthy.
I wouldn't say, look, don't get me wrong, the ground would never refuse rain, and my bank account would never refuse money. But, you know, the ultimate goal, I want to build something really successful. I mean, you know, I've often spoken to Neil and Ernest, and even the team. As I said, we have a great team of people across all the jurisdictions we're in. You know, it's to build something successful. If we could replicate some of the other technology businesses out there, I mean, look at the guys in Stripe. I mean, what an incredible story, you know, and even following what they're doing. I mean, they're backing other startups around the world, where these other startups are trying to revolutionize the industry that they have chosen, the same way Stripe have revolutionized the payments industry. And, you know, there's, To be something like that, to go out, you know, as I said, we are different. We didn't just kind of go, well, that's what they do over there. Let's replicate it and do it a bit better and see what happens. We're coming to the table with something very different, you know.
Love hearing that.
Yeah.
Listen, you're going to come back to us sooner, I hope, than later, particularly when you raise the cash. One other thing you have to do is, and don't say the Collisons because they've already been chosen. Who would you hire in a heartbeat?
Richard Branson.
Somebody else did say him before, and I was able to say to them that back in the day, I used to have his mobile phone number.
Well,
why would you like to have him on your...
Because what an ideas, man, for, you know, you think about somebody who was in the music industry, who was a huge success in the music industry, who just decided on a whim one day to open an airline. He got stuck in an airport and he decided, well, I'll charter a plane, and, you know, Virgin Airways was born. And then he got into the train side of things. I mean, incredible.
Do you know the original music business that he was in? I remember a guy in school called Nigel Dodd. He had a piece of paper with all of the records written down on it. And we would go to Nigel and we would buy the records. And that was the original Virgin business model. And it was off an old fax. Well, it probably wasn't even fax. You probably never heard of a thing called a Gestetner.
No. Going to Google that.
So Mr. Branson you would like, and what would you like him to do for you?
Just ideas. I mean, you know,
but you've got the ideas.
And don't get me wrong. Look, we are full of ideas, and you know, you do run off on tangents. But just ideas. He just seems like a really down to earth guy, a really, really humble, successful guy. Now I don't know him. I'd love to spend some time on Necker Island, out there in the Caribbean with him. But you know, maybe someday. Maybe so. If he's listening to this, Richard, give me a call.
We have the most curious people who do listen in, so you never know. We'll try to link you up. That is David Kindleton of Epion. So continued success, David, and thanks very much for joining us on That Great Business Show. And that is it from That Great Business Show, episode 31. Sound engineer Keith Starrs built his famous wall of sound for us, and sonic architect Peter Rice adds the finishing flourishes later on, making us the best sounding podcast anywhere. This week's shout outs are for Super Pure Valerie O'Reilly, who sent us David Kindlin, with a little help from Pamela Newnham. Cape Town based Frank, the chairman, Gormley, kindly made the intros to the ambassador. And yet again, Sinead Heffernan came via the Going for Growth program that has delivered us so many great women entrepreneurs. Buichas Liv Erfad. If you want to be featured on That Great Business Show, send your details to us via the website, thatgreatbusinessshow.com. And if you'd like to advertise on Ireland's best business podcast, email producer@thatgreatbusinessshow.com and let's talk. Finally, our thanks to our sponsor, De Facto Shave. Try their world's best shaving oil for just a week and you'll be a convert. You'll never, ever go back to yucky, polluting and potentially carcinogenic shaving foam. Buy it, use it, and see how smooth it makes you feel. So from me, a very smooth Conal O'Moran, we'll talk again next week on That Great Business Show, Slán Tomhán.